the Katra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI.
Welcome back, everyone. So if you've ever felt that constant pressure about your health, your diet, maybe even a bit of guilt about how you look.
I think most people probably have at some point.
Well, then today's deep dive is definitely for you. We're getting into Chris Schilling's really important work, The Body, a sociological project.
Right. And this book, it really makes you rethink things. It forces you to stop seeing your body as just, well, biology.
Yeah.
For ages, Western thought was all about mind-body separation, right? The mind thinks, the body just exists.
It's a soul idea.
Exactly. But Schilling throws a wrench in that. He asks this really fascinating question. Is your body just this biological thing, or is it actually fundamentally a social product, something society shapes and makes demands on?
And that feels so relevant now, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. More than ever, maybe. I mean, we are obsessed. Just look around fitness culture, cosmetic surgery becoming normal, all the anti-aging stuff.
Huge industries built around it. Billions.
It's not just vanity, though. That's the point Schilling makes. This deep dive is kind of our shortcut to understanding the deeper sociological forces behind all this body consciousness.
We're basically taking the body from being sort of ignored in social theory and putting it right at the center, where Schilling argues it really belongs. And to understand this shift, you really have to know a bit about the person driving it. Chris Schilling, he's a distinguished British sociologist, a professor at the University of Kent.
Right.
And he's widely seen as one of the key figures, really a pioneer, in what we now call the sociology of the body. He spent years basically making embodiment theory a legitimate thing to study in sociology.
And pioneer is the right word, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like he didn't just add to the field, he kind of built it.
That's a fair way to put it.
Yeah.
His earlier book, Body and Social Theory, really kicked off what people call the somatic turn.
The somatic turn,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was this big shift across sociology, recognizing that the body isn't just a passive backdrop for social life, it's an active part of it.
So what makes his approach special? Why him?
Well, I think it's his ability to connect the dots. He takes classical thinkers, the big names like Marx and Weber, but looks at them in a new way through this body-focused lens.
Okay.
And then he weaves in more contemporary thinkers, people like Foucault and Bourdieu, to build this really comprehensive framework. So yeah, he's kind of the main architect of this whole area he's discussing.
Okay, so let's dive into the book itself, The Body. What's the absolute core argument here?
The main thing, the central thesis, is that the body isn't this fixed biological thing we just sort of have.
Right.
Instead, he calls it a reflexive project.
A reflexive project.
Meaning it's something we actively work on. We modify it. We try to optimize it. It becomes this resource that reflects not just our own choices, but also what society expects and values.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's malleable.
Exactly. He talks about plastic bodies, especially now in late modernity. Bodies are seen as things that can be changed and maybe even should be shaped, improved, perfected.
So the book tracks how we got here.
Yes, that's the ambition. It looks back at why the founders of sociology mostly ignored the body. He calls it the absent body problem and then explains why it's become so central today. You just can't ignore it anymore.
But hang on, if it's all a social project, why does he talk about corporeal realism? Doesn't that bring biology straight back in?
Ah, that's the nuance and why his thinking is so valuable. He insists we have to acknowledge the body's material reality. You know, the fact we get sick, we age, we need food, biology matters.
Okay.
But, and this is the key, he argues that this material reality is always interpreted through a social lens. It's managed, given meaning by social processes. So the physical body is how we experience the world, but that experience is shaped by the world. It's both foundation and product.
That makes sense. It sets up the history nicely. So he starts with this absent body issue in classical sociology, where the thinkers just overlooked the physical self.
Pretty much, yeah. They often focused on the mind or the rational actor, and the body was just sort of there, assumed but not analyzed.
And when they did mention it.
Well, often it wasn't in a very positive light. Take Marx, for example.
Okay.
For Marx, the body under capitalism was mainly just a tool for labor, something used on the assembly line, owned by the capitalist, really. Its creative aspects were kind of crushed, leaving just this machine-like function for profit, alienated labor, basically.
Right. And Weber? Similar vibe?
Similar in terms of control, maybe, but more internalized. Weber looked at the Protestant ethic, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And he saw the body as this source of, well, trouble. passions, desires, things that the rational mind aiming for salvation or profit had to suppress and control.
So bodily discipline, like forcing yourself to work long hours, deny pleasure.
Exactly. It was about mastering the flesh for higher rational purposes, constant self-control. But then things start to shift quite dramatically when Schilling brings in more recent thinkers. He uses Foucault a lot to explain how power works differently now, much more subtly and directly on the body itself.
Right. This is Foucault's disciplinary power idea.
Precisely. It's not just the king issuing decrees. It's the way institutions think. Schools, factories, hospitals, prisons use schedules, drills, exams, even the physical layout of the space.
Like desks in rows or cubicles?
Exactly. All designed to train our bodies, to make them efficient, predictable, docile. It shapes how you sit, move, work, often without you even thinking about it. Power built into the everyday routine.
And Elias builds on that idea of control. But maybe more about our internal feelings.
Yes. Norbert Elias adds this crucial historical layer with his work on the civilizing process. He showed how, over centuries, really basic bodily functions, eating, sneezing, expressing emotions, even toilet habits became increasingly private.
Things we do behind closed doors now.
Right. And they became subject to rules, self-control, and importantly, feelings of shame or embarrassment if you broke those rules. It's the history of why we feel awkward about certain bodily things.
So we learn to police ourselves, that internal cringe factor.
Exactly. You internalize the social standards, and that self-policing, that internal control, really sets the stage for what Schilling discusses next in Chapter 4, The Modern Body Project.
Okay, so if Elias explains the internal shame, Chapter 4 is where that energy gets channeled today, into working on ourselves.
You got it. The focus shifts. It's less about external institutions drilling discipline into you and more about the body becoming the central symbol of who you are in our consumer culture.
It's not just something you have, it's something you do, something you achieve.
Yeah, a constant work in progress. Think about intense fitness regimes, cosmetic procedures, even things like visible tattoos. Schilling sees these as tools we use to construct our identities, to show the world our dedication, our status, our choices.
But he calls this the paradox of control, right? Because it feels like we're in charge. Choosing these things freely. It's my body, my choice.
But are we really? Or are we just chasing ideals society feeds us, like being thin or young looking or super fit?
That's the paradox, exactly. It feels like personal agency, like self-creation. But these choices are heavily shaped, maybe even dictated, by deeply internalized social norms and media images. It's a very effective, subtle form of social control.
Because we blame ourselves if we don't measure up.
Right. It becomes a personal failing, not a critique of impossible societal standards. It's quite a demanding cycle.
And then science and medicine get involved too, obviously. Schilling talks about their role.
Oh, yes. Big time. He looks at how medical institutions define what's normal or pathological. There's this process of medicalization.
Where things that used to be just part of life get turned into medical problems.
Exactly. Like aging or feeling sad or menopause or even shyness. They get redefined as conditions needing medical diagnosis, treatment, often pills.
Mm-hmm.
Medicine expands its authority over the body. And technology takes that even further, right? Towards the future.
Definitely. That leads into the whole post-human possibilities discussion. Think genetic engineering, cybernetics, implants, ways technology is starting to merge with or modify the body.
Blurring the lines between natural and artificial.
Totally. Schilling points out this really challenges our basic ideas about what human even means. If we can redesign ourselves so fundamentally, what are the limits? What are the ethics? It opens up huge questions. So pulling back a bit, let's look at the big themes running through the whole book. The first one, and maybe the most powerful, is theme one, embodied inequality.
Right. The idea that social divisions aren't just economic or abstract, they actually show up on our bodies.
Exactly. Inequality gets literally made flesh. Schilling talks about bodily capital.
Meaning things like your health, your appearance, how much energy you seem to have. That's a form of capital itself, like money.
Precisely. Access to good food, safe environments, quality healthcare, gyms. These things cost money or require social advantage. And they directly translate into better health, longer lives, looking better according to social standards.
So physical differences often reflect social hierarchies, not just biology.
That's the core point. It's a really stark reminder of how deep inequality runs.
Okay, what's the second key theme?
Theme two is the body as habitus. This draws a lot on Pierre Bourdieu's work.
Habitus. That's like our ingrained habits and dispositions, right?
Yeah.
Stuff we don't even think about.
Yeah, it's like social structure absorbed into our bodies. The way you walk, sit, gesture, hold yourself, even your tastes, Bourdieu argued these aren't random. They're learned, deeply ingrained reflections of your class, your upbringing, your social environment.
So it's our social position made physical. Wow.
It operates below conscious thought, mostly, but it signals our background to others. Think about posture or accent or comfort level in certain spaces. That's habitus showing.
And the third theme brings us back to basics, in a way.
It does. Theme three is mortality, vulnerability, and the limits. Despite all this focus on control, optimization, the body project.
We still get old, get sick, and die.
Exactly. Schilling constantly reminds us of that fundamental vulnerability. The body has limits. All the anti-aging efforts, the drive to perfect ourselves, maybe they reflect a deeper anxiety about our own finitude.
A kind of denial.
Perhaps. It underscores that while we can shape our bodies socially in many ways, we can't escape the basic biological realities of being embodied creatures. There are limits to the project.
Schilling really does have a way with words. Some of his phrases just stick. Let's hear a few key quotes or ideas like this one. The body is simultaneously the most solid, the most elusive, the most ancient, and the most modern of things.
Yeah, that really nails the paradox, doesn't it? It's physically real right here, flesh and bone. But its meaning is constantly changing, depending on the time and place. It's always been with us, yet it feels utterly contemporary.
And this one sums up the modern condition. In high modernity, the body has become a reflexive project, something to be worked on and accomplished as part of an individual's self-identity.
That term reflexive project is just so central. It captures that shift from just having a body to feeling you need to actively construct it, and that construction becomes part of who you are.
Right. And then there's the double-edged sword aspect. Plastic bodies and flexible selves go together in late modernity, creating new opportunities for self-creation alongside new forms of anxiety and uncertainty.
Mm-hmm. Huge opportunities, yes. We can change ourselves in ways unimaginable before, but that freedom creates pressure. Anxiety about getting it right, about meeting the latest ideal, the opportunity is also a burden, in a way. And these aren't just abstract ideas. They have real-world implications. Take public health policy, for instance. Schilling's work, especially using Foucault's ideas on biopower, helps us critique certain approaches.
How so?
Well, often policies focus only on individual behavior. Eat less, move more.
Right, the willpower argument.
But that completely ignores the social structures, Schilling highlights. It ignores poverty, lack of access to healthy food, unsafe neighborhoods for exercise, all that embodied inequality we talked about.
The just blaming individuals misses the bigger picture.
Totally. A Schilling-informed approach would say you have to address the social and economic factors that give people the capacity to be healthy in the first place. You need to change the environment, not just target individual choices in isolation.
And what about on a more personal level? How can we use these ideas day to day?
I think understanding the body project idea is really powerful for media literacy, especially with social media.
Like Instagram perfection.
Exactly. Seeing those curated perfect images, not just as reality, but as a form of modern self-discipline, a performance, knowing that can be really freeing.
Wow.
Because if you understand that the pressure you feel, the inadequacy, the shame sometimes, that it's largely socially constructed, that it's not just your personal failing, that can really change your relationship with those images.
It gives you critical distance.
Right. It helps you see the cultural forces at work rather than just internalizing the pressure as your own fault. That awareness can be genuinely liberating.
For me, the biggest takeaway, what I really appreciated, was getting the language to understand something I think many of us feel. That constant pressure about our bodies to improve, to fix, to perfect.
Mm.
Schilling shows it's not just some individual anxiety or personal quirk. It's part of a much larger cultural logic,
yeah,
tied into consumerism, tied into modernity. Understanding that system makes the pressure feel, well, less personal somehow, more understandable.
Absolutely. And for me, the ultimate shift is realizing you simply cannot understand society or even yourself without understanding the body. It's not just a biological container.
Right.
Schilling really elevates it. He shows the body as this dynamic place where nature, culture, power, identity, they all intersect and play out. It's the medium through which we live our social lives. You have to start there.
So a final thought for everyone listening. Maybe start noticing the embodied politics around you. Dress codes at work, the culture at your gym, even just how people carry themselves in different spaces. It's all revealing.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.